law students from the UW recently traveled to Texas, but this is no ordinary field trip. These students, along with their professor, were there to represent detained migrants in immigration court, many of them seeking asylum in the United States. The South Texas Family Residential Facility in Dilley, Texas, is one of the largest immigration detention centers in the U.S. That's where our next guest went to take part in this work. They join us now to share more about their experiences there. Aaron Barbado is the director of the Immigrant Justice Clinic at the University of Wisconsin Law School, and Daniela Juarez is a third-year law student at UW-Madison who made the trip. Aaron, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
And Daniela, thanks for coming up to the studio.
Thank you for having us.
Aaron, let's start with you. Why did you want to make this trip with your law students?
Well, I actually wasn't the person who planned it from the beginning. Law students have been going down to this facility since 2014. And so the people that have really planned this this trip was LASA. And Daniela is the president of LASA, and she can tell you a little bit about that. But at this point, it's just a really wonderful learning opportunity for law students to learn how to represent people in detention.
And Daniela, let's bring you in. Why did you and the group want to do this?
Well, I have personal ties. So I came to the U.S. when I was 5 years old. I was born in Mexico. So this is just something that hits really close to home, really close to my family. And it's something that affects our community. You know, I'm originally from California, but even in Wisconsin, it's something that we see. And it was something that I felt the rest of the law students really wanted to get involved in. And why not?
And Aaron, you were in Dilley, Texas, home of one of the biggest immigration detention centers in the United States. Can you kind of set the scene for us, describe it for us?
Sure. So in 2014, our government built this detention facility, or it's a family considered a family residential facility that can house up to 2,400 mothers and children. And so we weren't privy to see most of the facility. We saw the area where the attorneys met with clients, and then I saw the immigration court that was there, as well as a building where the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services held interviews. So we didn't see the living quarters or where people eat or anything like that.
And Daniela, can you talk about some of the people and families that you met and worked with while you were there?
A lot of single mothers, a lot of young mothers, a lot of children. Mostly from Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador. All of them had a very powerful and very gruesome story to tell. And something that we saw across the board was how much these women were just fighting for their children. I'll sum it up for you in a quote from a mom that I was sitting with. And let me preface this by saying, like, we as volunteers had to be really strong when we were talking to them, but I completely lost it in this interview. And the mom was telling me, she's like, she was confused by the law and what asylum was. And she's like, if I have to go back, it's fine. I'll die. But just keep my children. Just make sure they are okay. That's what we saw.
Can you talk about some of the stories from these moms, I guess, in particular, of what they were leaving? What was so bad at home that made them take this dangerous journey with an uncertain outcome?
Yeah. Generally, we saw domestic violence fueled by gang violence, fueled by poverty, by lack of resources. So we had women who were very young, who did not have access to education, who did not have access to a job, and they were supporting children. And then you have either a terrible life at home where husband is mistreating them, or you have gang violence where, like, they're making some money and someone from a gang is taking it away. Or hurting them. We had stories where bodies would end up in front of their homes as threats, or family members were killed because they weren't paying their quote-unquote rent to continue to work or live. And so these are things that I think as Americans here, we can't really imagine or quite understand. But it was very normal. to them, and that sounds really weird, but when they were telling me their story, I had to really pull that information because they didn't understand that what they were living through was not normal and that that life is not something that you should be living.
And Aaron, let's talk about legal representation a little bit. People might think of a criminal case involving an American citizen and that citizen having the right to an attorney if they can't afford one, one is provided for them. That right is not guaranteed, as I understand it, in these immigration cases. Do I have that right?
You do. That's correct. So in removal defense in immigration court, when someone is facing deportation, they aren't afforded a government attorney. You can have an attorney if you can afford an attorney, but most attorneys, private bar attorneys, you know, it's very expensive, especially for someone fleeing from another country for violence. So, and especially for someone who is in Dilley, Texas, which is very far from, an hour from San Antonio, and there just are 2,400 people that need representation. So there's a lack of access to justice there and a lack of legal representation. So that's why this volunteer, these volunteer attorneys are incredibly important to ensure that these women have some sort of access to justice.
On a practical level, what are volunteer attorneys doing with their clients?
You know, there's not even that much we can do because of the volume of women that are down there. We had about 22 volunteers the week we were there, and we would see up to 90, 100 women as a group every day. And so that doesn't give us a lot of time to meet with the women, especially to describe what the process is and to tell them what type of questions they may be asked so that they're prepared and knowledgeable to tell their story in a credible and truthful manner. And so I often felt like we just didn't have enough time to give full representation, which was really hard as someone who believes in that people in removal defense need representation in order to have due process of the law.
Daniela, as a law student here, what was the experience like? What does it make you think about your own maybe future career as an attorney?
I came into law school knowing I wanted to be an immigration attorney. And so I think it has been quite a roller coaster because I don't think I understood what that meant coming in. Being there as a law student was really hard for a couple of reasons. One, we know enough about the law to know right from wrong. We know certain things, but we don't know enough to actually do much yet. We can't practice. We can't, you know. So being there with that knowledge was very heartbreaking. And we did the best we could. I speak Spanish, and so I was able to do the work with a translator. And usually I had someone else with me. And we got through about 8 women on day one. And then after that, we had to bring it down because it was so much. But I think everybody was feeling a little broken because we don't really understand this system.
Now, that's down in Texas. There are immigration cases that go on here in Wisconsin, in the Midwest, often at Chicago courts, I believe. Do you and your organization work on those cases as well?
I did when I was part of IJC, the Immigrant Justice Clinic. And so I did an asylum case in Chicago, and it was amazing, and we got to see it through. And I think that was the highlight of last year because I got to meet him and hear his whole story, and it took months, but we got to present his case. Me and my partner represented him, and he was released that day, and we took him out to lunch, and it was a really amazing day.
And Aaron, that highlights a big difference. Daniela was talking about being with that client kind of through the whole run of their court, their case, which can go on, I imagine, months, maybe years, I don't know, versus volunteering and being able to drop in just briefly with these clients. Is there any kind of access or attempt to give access to longer-term representation at a place like this facility in Texas?
You know, the organization that runs the volunteer opportunity in Texas, you know, they're really focused on this credible fear interview part of this process so that these women can be released from detention. And then once they're released, they can find legal representation where they relocate in the United States. So in some cases, we will be able to represent the women if they're relocated to Wisconsin, and we would like to continue the representation. But there's just too many, and we can't help everybody. There's just not enough resources for that. So ideally, every woman who was released would find legal representation where they go. But the truth is, there's just not enough nonprofit immigration services in the United States to serve everyone.
Danielle, are you hoping to organize another trip down to Texas?
Yeah, we are. And so our LASA, Latinx Law Student Association, is thinking of doing another one in the spring. And so that's what we plan to do moving forward, to do one in the fall and one in the spring. This time it landed in the summer just because of scheduling. And we are starting to fundraise for it already. I'm hoping, I think it's an amazing experience for law students to see it firsthand. And it's also, it's such much needed help.
It's a good place to leave it. Daniela, thanks a lot for joining us.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron, thank you.
Thank you.
Aaron Barbato is the director of the Immigrant Justice Clinic at the University of Wisconsin Law School, and Daniela Juarez is a third-year law student at UW-Madison. They recently traveled to Texas to represent detained people and families in immigration court.